What is a successful life? You have to know if you're going to help your child build one. What is a successful life? Yes, we've got to know if we're going to build one, and for too long it has just been left to chance. A successful life, you'll be surprised to hear me say, is not equal to academic success. That might have looked true in another generation, because in another generation, if you had academic success, you had monetary success, and that was called good. But you know, that's not enough. But academic success is important. So what does it mean to be successful? I used to say, well, to be successful means to attain whatever goal it is that you want, because I was arguing against the whole idea that success was simply equal to having enough money, having ample money. Ample money is very helpful too. But what does it mean to be successful? Does it mean to be really good at whatever it is you choose to do? Well, that might be success, meeting your goals, maybe. But what should those goals be? If you are a very good murderer, we're not going to call you a successful person. If you're very good at making money, that may not make a successful life, although it is a certain kind of success. Having enough money to take care of yourself and your family is important. It is an ingredient to success, contrary to what perhaps I was taught. How about being happy? Well, being happy is a good thing. And I don't see how you can call yourself really successful if you're really unhappy. But happiness by itself isn't successful. You could be blissed out on drugs and be happy and not be successful. And you can meditate yourself into some kind of happiness and still be a patootie. And kids hate you and people at work hate you and you don't make enough money. That is possible, and that's not what I mean. But so the question then becomes, well, what is real happiness and how do you get there? And that ends up being pretty much the same question as what does it mean to be successful? And I think if we do have money and we do have enough academic success to get there, and if we do have some happiness, what else is not in the picture if those are ingredients? And I would have to say, well, living a good life in terms of being moral or ethical or contributive to society. We don't want good murderers, and we don't want happy, meditative people who are not contributive to society. So we need some sort of moral guide. Well, what kind of moral guides are there that help people become good citizens, good spouses, good parents, good workers, good friends? Well, Buddha wasn't bad, but if you look at Buddhist lands, that's not sufficient. I would submit to you that Jesus is better. Now, Buddha taught a balanced life and compassion. Jesus talked about laying your life down and getting it back in spades. You know, the wheat of corn falls in. You know, he's talking about 30, 60, 100 fold. So he's talking about altruism, which is more than right livelihood. It's more than a balanced life. It is making the world a better place and having supernatural power to do it. So of course he was basing his on the Mosaic ethical system, which included some, you know, basic principles of hygiene and government and morality. Okay, So Jesus didn't have to come and tell people to wash their hands. Jesus didn't need to come and tell people you should be committed to your wife, because the society that he walked in knew that from the Mosaic Law. But he heightened it to a spiritual level. Read the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm going to suggest that Jesus is the best moral guide. If you don't like that, then what's your nomination? Anyway, I'm nominating Jesus and the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures with the Mosaic Law, and the prophets also, and then the New Testament teachings of Jesus, which, by the way, do include the both teaching the care of and the leadership of women, both in Hebrew and Scripture and New Testament. But anyway, and also fair treatment of other races. In fact, we have leaders in the Jewish community who were not Jewish, Rahab and Caleb, for instance. Anyway, so that's what I'm going to suggest. So, yes, you need some monetary success. And in our society, you've got to have at least a modicum of academic success for that. Yes, you need to be happy, but you cannot have those without a moral guide. So that's the fundamental principle. Of course, if I said the Bible life, that might sound smug and not helpful, because that's not clear. But I hope I've unpacked that a little more clearly. So what is a successful life, and how can you transmit that to your children? Well, at this time of year, we often watch It's a Wonderful Life, and the angel, Clarence, tells the protagonist there, if you don't have friends, you don't have a successful life. But you have to understand that in context. The protagonist had spent his life serving the community, and he was appreciated for that, even though he didn't have the kind of money that he thought he should have for that. We're not talking about any kind of friends, because the drug dealer has certain drug dealer friends for a short time, and the woman who spends her time carping about the boss has friends for break time. But it's the kinds of friends that family that this guy had, because he poured himself out. And of course, sometimes people are given negative rewards for the backbone they have, but that's also temporary, and God promises remuneration for that. So, okay, so some money, some health, some family life. You've got to have some love, and you've got to have good progeny to have a successful life. The Bible even says, Old Testament, I believe it's Proverbs, says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. And to do that, you have to have an ordered family life. And all societies, by the way, except maybe for ours, have had some ordered sexuality so that the children could be taken care of. But hey, you know what? This is good for the adults and the older people too, to have committed sexual relationships, committed or ordered family life. And there should be some option for those who are not married, but having ordered life, ordered family life. Okay, so we've got to have good relationships. That's part of being happy. I think there's abundant empirical evidence for that. Yes. Okay. And then what else ingredient? I think we need some spirituality, some mental health, which would include thankfulness, and some spirituality that is that ineffable. Once I compared it to the artistic sense, but it's more than that, and it's just a thing, and you just need to know about it. Your spirit needs to be alive, as well as your brain and emotions and body. So truth, beauty, and goodness have been nominated classically for being part of the good life. So I would think truth, beauty, and goodness is part of the soulish realm and part of the spiritual realm perhaps as well. So academics should serve all of this. And in our society, typically it only attempts to serve the moneyed part. In times past, it served the realm of the mind in terms of truth, beauty, and goodness, and that's why that phrase is coming back in terms of the classical school movement. So education should serve, yes, basic skills for the society to earn money, but more than that, to grow the internal person, the mind, will, and emotions, with truth, beauty, and goodness, and also to help form character. Now, school will not be the primary socializing factor, but parents, family, and hopefully church will have a large portion of forming that personality. But school should also inculcate civic life and being a contributive to society, and hopefully even altruistic. But we have sort of thrown that out on its ear. We don't talk about character traits and then build on that vacuous, empty, absent foundation. We try to build a superstructure of go out and make the world a better place, but we don't have academics, so they don't know what the situation really is. They don't have the skills to make it a better place, and they don't have the character to contribute, and yet they should be in charge. And guess what? That's what we've got. We've got well-intentioned young people who are running around looting and screaming at people and think they're making a world a better place, screaming at people who are actually contributive members of society. They've just believed a lie and they think this is going to help something. That's crazy. Okay. So running around hurting others, intimidating others, breaking the law just at random, being weaponized, that's not a good life. It's not contributive to society either. Okay, so academics should help this. It should help us sort out what is truth and help us learn how to sort out what is facts, you know, right? The school milieu ideally would inculcate not just intelligence, but diligence also, and serve to at least advertise the kinds of character constructs that are helpful in society. And if there is a divergence, well, there is a divergence, there is some consensus. Nobody wants people to assault us, you know. We want our rights, our person to be safe. We want our property to be safe. We've got an agreement about, at least in the Constitution, we have some consensus. So we can make public schools. But if there is a divergence of values, apparently there is, then we can also make different kinds of schools. But we need to unpack our values and really look in the mirror some, instead of always pointing to someone else. And by the way, that's a character trait too, is self-critique and repentance. Okay, so yes, I'm all about making the world a better place. But like somebody else said, make your bed and clean your room first. You have to make you into a decent human being before you can go out and lead. And leadership is not about making other people give to you. Leadership is about encouraging everybody to move in a good direction together and not about some sort of intimidation or coercion. Okay? Yes, I'm for rights for everyone. Yes, I'm for proper handling of resources. Yes. But why can't we talk about that in a kind of dialogical, rational form? It's because somebody is getting a benefit for us fighting. Somebody else gets the benefit when we are weaponized for each other. But in the meantime, we don't live a good and happy life if we're just weaponized based on half-truths. Okay, so school ought to address all of that and make better, not just better students, but better citizens, and in that way contribute to a better society. So yes, we should have better minds, but also better hearts. And how do you really change a heart? That is something really beyond what school can do. School can contribute to advertising character formation, but it really can't bring heart turnaround. And it can't bring the kind of healing of spirit, soul, and body that only Jesus can bring. So, fine. I'm not going to say that necessarily the school can do it, although I think it would be great if we could put our children by choice in schools that did. But the public school needs to not oppose that, obviously. And for those of us who can put our children in Christian schools, we should. But I'm going to talk to you right now about the gospel. And churches should certainly preach the gospel and not be country club facilities, and preach the gospel and not be leadership squashers, and preach the gospel and not be criminals. So that we can have leaders in our society, judges who are not bribe takers, and law enforcement officers who follow due process, and teachers who teach honestly, and workers who and businessmen who use an honest balance. Okay, so school can contribute to that, but we need more than that. We need the gospel so that our hearts are warmed, and our hearts are filled, and our hearts are healed, and our hearts repent. And we can only do that with the blood of Jesus. I know no other avenue. And so I'm going to suggest that. We know that we have all done wrong things. Now, I have done very few. More people have. But everybody's going to have to say, yes, I've done something wrong. Well, how do you deal with that? Well, by repentance. The gospel in a nutshell, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, it says, by grace. So God has given us grace. God has reached out to us in the person of Jesus. By grace through faith, so we obtain that by faith. We have active faith to receive it. But we are created unto good works. So I am a little skeptical about say a prayer and you're good to go for the rest of eternity and don't change. No, if you really have faith that your sins are forgiven, then you will become close to God. You will be thankful for that. You will come close to God and you will live a better life. But faith to work properly needs love. And I know no other more loving, stronger hand than the strong hand of Jesus with still the marks of crucifixion in his wrist. Jesus reaches out to you. And this is what churches were made to do also, is to reach out and be a warm and loving community, but not without boundaries. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to Jesus and receive his love, receive his forgiveness, receive his empowerment. And from Romans, the 10th chapter, let me read to you. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith, which we, meaning Paul, teaches. That if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Shall is stronger than will. If you know your English grammar, you shall be saved. So let's pray then. And verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we have heard about your great offer of salvation, that you came to us from heaven, lived among us as a human, died for us, rose for us, And so we receive that sacrifice. We receive that gift. We received forgiveness of our sins on that basis. We believe that you were raised from the dead, and we call you Lord and Savior. We repent of our sins, and we call you Lord. That means we'll do what you say. We call you Savior. That means you have washed away our sins, and we live in newness of life, not just forgiven, but also empowered. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. And we claim this promise. If we prayed it in our heart, if we meant business with you, you mean business with us. And whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Okay, so if you prayed that prayer, contact me. info@greatshalom.org. It actually does work now. info@great, like big G-R-E-A-T, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, info@greatshalom.org. And let me know you prayed that prayer. And also find a Bible-believing church. Okay, that's what it means to live a successful life. And you can live a successful life, and that's the biggest contribution you can make to your children, but you need to teach your children that. It starts with the life that is made whole and empowered through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus in your heart, which is the Holy Spirit. And then character, and then skills, and yes, some money, and yes, some happiness. That is a successful life. Hallelujah. It will be joyful. Okay. So please share this. Share this. This is a great Christmas gift. Would you share this? Tell you what, if you share this 10 times and let me know that 10 people are actually interested in this, you email me their names and emails. I'll send you out a gift card for a coffee. How's that? 10 shares. 10 shares, and I'll send you a gift card for coffee. All right. Now, we are also making a special project. We understand that there are some serious floods in Honduras, in Nicaragua, and we have some friends who have some friends who are missionaries there and who are helping in some of the most remote parts of those countries where that government cannot really do very much. So anybody who gives, let's see, anybody who sends $10, I will give you a e-copy of my games for preschoolers and my Montessori. So for $10, you get, as a thank you gift, in e-booklet format, my games for preschoolers and my Montessori. Explanation of Montessori for preschool. Anybody who sends me $200, I will send them my The Government Is Not a Village and my Peace Skills book, both in hard copy. Well, they're paperback, you understand. So for $200, thank you gift, The Government Is Not a Village and the Peace Skills book, which is conflict reduction. It's just called Peace Skills. Swim with the dolphins, not with the sharks. Okay? And you can send that by going to the website and clicking through the PayPal logo. And you can send it either with PayPal if you have a PayPal account, or you can send it through PayPal using whatever credit card. So if you have a credit card, that will work. Or you can mail me a check. You have to mail it to my name. And you don't get a 501c3, but anything you send me for Honduras and Nicaragua, I will send it all to Honduras and Nicaragua, to the Hancocks there. Audrey, and his name is Whit, and they are friends of my friends, Johnny and Elizabeth Inlow. So I trust that this will be fully used for what they're doing. Okay, and my address is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78 630, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Now, this is needed urgently now. So let's get all of this done before the end of the year, because people are starving to death, and we need to give them food for a month and then help to start farming again. Okay, so go to the website, greatshalom.org, great like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M.org. Look for the PayPal logo. It's right there in the front. And then email me that you did, so I am sure to have your email address. And then you can also write me, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And we are going to have more resources on the website, so keep checking back. We'll have some resources there. Okay? Blessings to you. Merry Christmas. And we're going to believe for up and up and up. A good year and a good holiday season and a good year next year, no matter what happens to the world, because the wheat and the tares grow together. We are going to have a successful life. Okay, Lord bless you, and Merry Christmas. For more information, log on to overcominglearningproblems.org. overcominglearningproblems.org.